This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain. Here we are once more, game week 33. Pretty much done and dusted, just Burnley and Southampton to go tonight. But we thought we'd jump on today ahead of, well, game week 34. My name's Rich Wolfenden. This is Triple Captain at FPL Triple Cap over on Twitter. Join the Discord. Do it. You won't regret it. And as ever, joined by my co-host, Luke Jerdy. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, Rich. I'm very good. I'm having my best ever season in FPL this year.
Woo-hoo.
It has been so good this season. And this week has been, I mean, one of my best game weeks ever.
Oh.
I mean, my game week rank at the moment is 5,834.
Mental.
Yeah, I can't quite believe how well it's going. Although I have played the bench boost this week. Now, I think just jumping straight in, I think what we did last week was we recorded, obviously, you know, we have to record at a certain time so we get the edit turned around quickly enough. But we recorded before the Chelsea double game week was announced. So the Chelsea have got a double game week in 34, haven't they? Which means that Manchester United had a double game week this week and a double game week next week. Now, we recorded before that information. So I just wanted to explain, because we spent a lot of the podcast saying we're not interested in United assets this week. We don't think you should buy them. They're terrible. And you should captain Salah. And which, you know, we're right on, you know, half of that information, really, because Salah got 19 points. Huge score again against United, which we both predicted. We thought Liverpool would destroy United. We thought Salah had run riot. So we got that bit right. But what I didn't say that I was going to do on the pod, because I really didn't think I would, was to bring in Cristiano Ronaldo. And my reasoning behind that was, after we recorded, the information came out that if Chelsea beat Crystal Palace in the FA Cup semi-final, they will have a double game week in game week 34, which would mean that Manchester United would have a double game week in 34. So I had Harry Kane and I thought, well, that means that Ronaldo may well have four fixtures in the next two game weeks and Kane will only have two. Kane's guaranteed only have two fixtures. Yes, Kane is much more on form, but Ronaldo is one of the best scoring players that have ever graced the game. And whether he's playing with, you know, the absolute useless tosh that he's playing with at the moment at United, or with, you know, the best players in the world, he still scores goals. He's playing against Norwich, one of the worst defences in the Premier League. I thought, I've got to do it. So I brought in Ronaldo for Kane. I captained Ronaldo. And then, of course, he went and scored his hat trick. Obviously, there was the horrible news about his twin son that died, which was awful, which meant obviously he couldn't play against Liverpool, because obviously, you know, that's much more important than football. So I think that's the reason that I've done so well this week. And I think I've changed my approach to the game this season.
Ooh, I mean, hang on. With 5 game weeks to go, you're changing your approach.
No, what I mean is, looking back at my decisions so far this season, I feel like I've played a little bit more risky than I used to. I think particularly in the last, you know, in the last few seasons, you and Ben are always like, no, you always play it safe. You don't do anything silly, you know, apart from that famous free hit last season where I didn't pick any.
Oh, yeah.
But I think what it's taught me this season is that there's moments like this game week where picking a different captain, a differential captain, if the other popular captain score, it's not going to hurt you as much, because this game week was much more spread in terms of captaincy. We got Salah, who's got a single game week, so not everybody's going to pick him, and he's playing Man United, which, you know, although it's obvious to pick a player captaining a player against Man United, people still get put off by the name Manchester United. There weren't any other captain picks that were huge. I know Saka was quite highly captained this week, and also Newcastle assets. But again, they're not going to hurt you too much if they go mad. Because I own Salah and Saka already, which were the other two popular captaincy picks, it just absolutely cried out for differential captain. So I completely get why people captain Bruno Fernandes as well. I think they were just, you know, they were unlucky this game week. And actually looking at the stats as well, Ronaldo did really stand out. I mean, he's still having loads of shots, still close to goal, despite United playing absolutely terribly. And it was all set up for him, you know. And I think, obviously, I'm talking in hindsight, which is the worst thing you can do. But it is quite funny, isn't it, when you think about it, that people decided to captain Chris Wood this week over Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the greatest goal scorers in the game, over Mohamed Salah, one of the greatest FPL players ever.
It's absolutely insane. I mean, obviously, Leicester were playing as well, and people were like, I think I might captain Barnes. No, don't captain Barnes.
Ben isn't here today, but he captained James Maddison. And he was on the pod. Yeah. He was on the pod with us last week where we were saying, wait until if Leicester get through in Europe, I would avoid their players. They're going to get rotated.
And they did.
You know, I mean, Barnes didn't do too badly in the end, I think, because he scored last night. He got 12 points, isn't going to be the worst thing in the world. And look, I get it. I do understand why people did it as well. I'm not saying like you're stupid for captaining Chris Wood, because on paper, it didn't look like a bad shout. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have done it, but just looking at it like that, it's quite funny, isn't it, to look at it going, Ronaldo's got a double game week, Mo Salah's playing the worst Man United team in decades, and people captain Chris Wood. But I get it.
That's the thing, because in FPL, I mean, we're all guilty of it. You get so deeply buried into this like FPL mindset when sometimes you just have to look back and go, all right, Mo Salah probably is one of the best players in the world and he's playing a poor team. I probably should captain him ahead of mid-table Chris Wood, who's got maybe 3 goals all season. So sometimes you just need to give yourself a more innocent, broader football mindset, which is what I like to think I bring to the podcast. But yeah, man, you absolutely smashed that week. So go on, run us through your team.
Yeah, so I mean, on reflection, the bench boost hasn't really gone that well because I've got Ramsdale on the bench with 3, Martinelli with 3, Dyer with 2, and Gordon with 3. So I would really have hoped for better scores than that in a double game week. I mean, Gordon got a cheeky bonus point last night despite not doing anything, which is really, really encouraging for a 4.6 million midfielder. Martinelli, of course, was benched last night, unfortunately. Ramsdale, Arsenal have kind of gone off the boil clean sheet-wise, and I think that's down to Thomas Partey and Kieran Tierney being injured. It's not the best bench boost. And Rudiger didn't play either. So I think it could have been a huge, huge score this week. But I've still got Weghorst and I've still got Broja tonight. So it could still be big. I mean, you know, it could be 2-2 and Weghorst and Broja might score 2 each. I don't think that will be the case, but you never know. So at the moment, I'm on 111 minus 4. Ooh. So 108. 107.
How many times have you been in that 100 club this season? Then?
That's got to be like, I mean,
6 times or something like that.
I mean,
you've done really well. I've only done it, I think, maybe twice, something like that this season. I think I got 140 maybe 1 week, but everybody else got better.
Five times.
Oh, good going. I'm so close to it. Like, I mean, I've got Broja tonight as well and I need him to like kick on. But yeah, so who are your big scorers this week then? Did you have double City defence?
No. So I brought in Cancelo this week. I brought him in for Thiago Silva. And I brought in Ronaldo for Kane, obviously. And I took a minus 4. And I also brought in Martinelli for Rafinha, because Rafinha was blanking. And the thing with the bench boost chip, I thought, I just want to get it out of the way. Because what it allows now is I can downgrade players that will sit on my bench. Like Martin Kelly, for instance, at Crystal Palace is 3.8 million. And he's never going to play, but that gives you about a million to spend and you just stick him third on your bench. And I think in the run-in, when there's players like Son, Kevin De Bruyne, Salah, Kane, all the premiums, you know, the Chelsea premiums, obviously for next week as well, all doing really well and looking good, you need that extra money. So I was like, I've just got to get it out of the way. So that's why I took Rafinha out for Martinelli and preferred Cancelo to Thiago, I think, which is the right decision, because I don't think Thiago started last night either.
No, it was Christensen and Saar.
Yeah, that was it. And I mean, you know, Arsenal scored 4 goals. So, but then Chelsea were quite depleted last night. But yeah, Dubravka, nice clean sheet from him for for 8. And then I had a Robertson, Cancelo and Alexander-Arnold all with single game weeks, but all got a nice clean sheet. Obviously, Salah with his 19-pointer. Saka with that last-minute penalty got me 10. Kulusevski, only 2. Ronaldo, captain, 34. Weghorst scored a goal, 8 points so far with one fixture to go. And Broja only on 1 at the moment with another fixture to go. And as I said, on the bench, yeah, quite low scoring. But the chip's out the way. It means I can focus. I've got one free hit left. So I can smash those last few game weeks now. And overall rank is 2,349 going into tonight's fixtures. So, I mean, I'm pushing. I'm about 20 points away from 1K. About 20 points away. If I can get into that 1K, that would be amazing.
Is that going to be the end of season goal? Not to try and, you know, put pressure on you, but is that what you want to try and reach, top 1,000?
I mean, it would be...
If you can be one of those people with 3 figures on their final rank, that'd be so good.
It would be absolutely brilliant if I could get it. I mean, I'd be so happy with top 5K this season. But if I can get top 1K, that would be amazing. And I think where I've got a disadvantage, obviously, is a lot of people are going to play their wild card this week. And a lot of people have still got bench boost left as well. So I think a lot of people are wild carding in 34, will probably bench boost in that big double game week in 36. And then they might even have a free hit left as well. So I think that's where I've got a disadvantage because I've already played my wild card. But if I hadn't already played my wild card, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in now. So it's worked out well. And I think a really good tip for the rest of the season is don't be afraid to chase the hauls week on week. You don't especially need to plan too far ahead. And I think, for instance, this week with Ronaldo, I managed to hit his, he got a hat trick. I managed to get it. And I think don't worry about chasing that because there's only 5 game weeks left. And if you've got a free hit, there's essentially only 4 game weeks left. So you might as well chase those chances of big, big scores. So this week, obviously, everyone's looking at the Chelsea assets, aren't they? But then I know a lot of people are on wild card as well. So have a little look and go, where's the upside here? Is there a player that could go mad? And if there is, then get them in your team and maybe even stick the captain on them because it can really, really put you high up the ranks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, looking at our league table, it's tossed and turned who's been at the top of it. But would you believe it? When push comes to shove, our very own Luke Jurdy sits top of it. Ah, poor Connor McBean. He's been there for like the whole season. You know, there's a bunch of people in the Discord chat as well who've been pushing for it as well. But this is why you got to listen to the podcast. You've got to listen to the podcast alongside the Discord. So where the advice comes. But yeah, man, you're absolutely smashing it. Very, very well done. My game week, it was all right, actually. Schmeichel got me 5 points. I brought Schmeichel inside Saar. And I was messaging you, wasn't I? And I was like, I was unsure about taking the hit for a goalkeeper. But like you say, it's the end of the season and you've got to get points where you can get them. And, you know, Leicester had a double game week. So I thought they'll at least get, you know, 4 points. And he got 5. So that's absolutely fine for Kasper Schmeichel. Also brought in Cancelo for a hit. Double City defence, 6 from Laporte and him. Robertson with 6. Saka with 10. Barnes, I brought in, who got 12. Willock got an assist for Newcastle, which is a bloody lovely little bonus there. So 5 from him. Kane, very disappointing, 2 points. Broja still got to play tonight. And Kelechi Iheanacho got an assist last night as well. Very, very fortunate. It just kind of hit him and became an assist rather than Maddison getting an assist. So yeah. Overall, I got 97 points, but minus 8 to come on top of that. I had a pretty good game week rank, not quite as good as yours, but still pretty good, 79,000. So up to 154K, which is where I've been all season. So hopefully I can get to the top 100K, but I've been saying that for 20 game weeks now. So who knows, maybe it will finally happen in the last few game weeks. Cool. Let's talk about game week 34, and I suppose we just have to start talking about Chelsea, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. It's exactly what I was going to suggest, Rich. I think they're going to be priority for most people. I think most people that are on wildcard will go for Chelsea assets, but most likely a triple up. I mean, I know It probably put a few people off last night, seeing Arsenal beat them 4-2. But we've got to remember that Havertz wasn't playing. Thiago Silva wasn't playing. Rudiger wasn't playing. I think, you know, they've been a bit inconsistent recently, Chelsea, because, well, I mean, can you get any more inconsistent than beating Southampton 6-0 and then losing to Arsenal 4-2? They beat Newcastle 1-0, lost to Brentford 4-1, beat Southampton 6-0, then lost to Arsenal 4-2. So very, very hit and miss. But what they are doing, they are scoring goals. And I'm just looking at the stats now, and I think the main three attackers that everyone's going to be looking at, we'll get onto the defence, but I think the main three attackers are Werner, Havertz and Mason Mount, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think he started Lukaku last night, but Lukaku's still way too expensive for what he offers this season. But it could be weird if Lukaku gets a bit of a run in the season, because I don't know how many Premier League goals he's got. Maybe four, something like that. I don't think he's got many at all. But Timo Werner, he's had a little bit of a rebirth, hasn't he? You know, in cup competitions and the Premier League. He's still incredibly unlucky. In that Southampton game, how many goals he could have scored. I think he hit the woodwork two or three times, was it? Something like that. He got a goal in the end. I think he got two, in fact. But maybe Timo Werner. He just feels, for me, like he's still a bit of a trap, because he's so inconsistent in front of goal. Like he was good in the Bundesliga, and since he's come to England, he's never really done it. He is, unfortunately, an FPL myth, I think. And whenever you go for an FPL myth, you're in a position to get hurt. You know, Sam Maximan is the example of that. Traore, before he left, he was the perfect example of that. But I feel like Timo Werner probably falls into that category. But how much does he cost?
Look, he's eight. I think, you know, you're on to something, Rich, but he's 8.6 million. And I think he's cemented himself as first choice now in that front three. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, they're out of the Champions League. I know they've got the FA Cup final coming, but that's not yet, is it? When, I'm not sure when that is, but I think it comes in between game week 36, where they've got a double. So you're perhaps almost steer clear of them in 36 when I'm thinking of playing a free hit, actually, because I think there's going to be heavy rotation, and there's perhaps going to be heavy rotation. But, you know, after losing that game against Arsenal, they've now got West Ham on Sunday at home, and then the awful Manchester United 4 days later on the Thursday evening. They're going to want to win both those games. And yeah, you're right about Timo Werner. It's like, it could be disappointing, but he could also score a hat trick, and it's that upside. And I think when there's not many choices of strikers, is there? And I think if you're sat with Harry Kane, who is playing a resurgent Brentford away this weekend, one single game week fixture, or Timo Werner, who's got a double.
Yeah, that's very true.
And also, if you move Kane or Ronaldo, say, to Werner, and you're saving about 4 million, you can then upgrade one of your midfielders to Son. So, and Son is now smashing Kane this season for points. Son's got 201 points and Kane's got 152. Now, I'd never advocate a sideways move, but Son's cheaper, and there's this option here to bring in someone like Timo Werner and save that money, and then you can upgrade one of your midfielders to Son, particularly for that Leicester fixture in game week 35, when Leicester will be coming off the back of their European... is it a semi-final they're in now?
Yeah, semi-final in the Conference League.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge for them. Huge. So they're going to play their first team against in that game, and then I'd imagine they'll rotate heavily for that Spurs game, away at Spurs. That could be big for Spurs. So yeah. I think you need Son or Kane for that fixture. So that's what's leaning me more towards Werner. I think Havertz is a great option as well. I mean, his stats are brilliant. 14 shots in the box in his last six games.
Mm. But how many goals has he got?
He's got 5 goals in his last 6, Havertz.
Okay. It's pretty good going. This is probably the best form he's been in this season, because I've had him at times throughout the season and he's been a massive letdown.
Yeah.
But maybe this inconsistency and openness plays into his hands a little bit more in terms of goals.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, Lukaku started last night, but he came off on 59 minutes. And I think if that ever shows that Havertz is first choice, it does. But I think I think I saw something that Havertz may have been drifting a bit more out to the left in the last few fixtures, which again makes Werner a bit more tasty because he's through the middle. And then, of course, you've got the consistency of Mason Mount, who is just always there, and he's got that assist threat more so than Havertz and Werner have as well. He's always there or thereabouts, isn't he, Mason Mount? So he's almost your safe. Yeah. He's almost your safe option. Whereas I know Mount has had a few hauls this season. I think your Havertz and your Werner have got potential for more upside than Mount.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, Mount shows some absolute brilliance and he's an exceptional footballer, but that just doesn't translate all the time into FPL, which is a real shame. Like, you'd really want him in your team at the match if you're a Chelsea fan. But yeah, he can deliver. I think he scored a hat-trick out of the blue against Norwich or something like that earlier in the season. Absolutely smashed it. But yeah, there's no dead set in FPL, and I think that's the thing with Chelsea, is there's no dead set over who's going to be the one to get the goals. Whereas earlier in the season, you always knew that Chilwell and James were going to be involved at some point in terms of an attacking threat. But he came back last night, James. He started his first game in a long time in the Premier League. Would you consider him again?
Yeah, I would. I think if I was on wild card, I'd definitely consider him. I don't know if I want a double up. I need to find out whether Rudiger's fit or not, because I've got Rudiger.
Mm.
And if he's fit, I keep him. I don't know if I want double defence for West Ham and Man United.
Especially when you've got Ronaldo up front in your team as well.
Well, yeah, but I think, I mean, it depends on the Ronaldo news. I think it's probably better to take him out. I mean, we need to wait for the press conferences and see. But, I mean, you know, he's probably going to need some time off, isn't he, to grieve and to be with his family. So I think, you know, it's kind of an easy switch to Timo Werner for me. It's team dependent, all this stuff, isn't it? But if you're on wild card, Rich, who would your top three Chelsea be?
Top three Chelsea. I'd go with Havertz, because like you said, I think he's the first choice attacking option. I'd probably then go with Mount. And then it is a toss-up, but only because you've just done a very good argument for Timo Werner. otherwise, it probably would have been Reece James, to be honest. I was doing the Everton Leicester game last night, but I had the Arsenal-Chelsea game on next to me. And every time I looked up, Reece James had it on the right-hand side, looking to weigh one up into the penalty area. So even though he's not been around for a long time, he's still got so much attacking threat. But that's the only thing that weighs on my mind. But that's the eye test, and I always pay too much attention to the eye test rather than doing my research. But yeah, those would be my three, I think. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'd go Havertz, Werner, Reece James.
Because Mount's let you down in the past.
No, I've never really had him in. I just don't think he's got that ceiling that the other attackers have. And I mean, Reece James has got a huge ceiling. And I think you just take the risk. I think particularly if you're on wild card, you just take that risk. I mean, Tuchel spoke about him playing in the back three instead of as a wing back, just because the wing backs are more tiring position. So, you know, I'd even start looking at Golonzo again.
No.
Chilwell's out for the season. He spoke about Reece James in the back three. Alonso's more likely to start both games, I think. But I'd take the risk with James if I was on wild card. As I say, I think after seeing that four goals, I'm not overly confident about clean sheets in those two games. But then again, you don't get Reece James or Alonso for clean sheets. You get them because they're essentially midfielders. So I think if I was on wildcard, I wouldn't do the double up in defence, but I'd definitely have one of James or Alonso, and I'd have Werner and Havertz as well, because I think, yeah, they've got good upside. But yeah, Mount's a good option as well for Chelsea.
Do the fixtures not put you off a little bit? You know, West Ham have been very good this season. You know, Manchester United have had times where they've been very good this season. I know they're in a bit of a slump at the moment, but usually when there is a slump at Manchester United, they usually, you know, come back with a result. You know, like they did with the Norwich game after losing at Goodison the week before that. So is it maybe a bigger gamble because of the fixtures? You know, I'd understand if it was, say, Brighton and Newcastle or something like that, but, you know, two teams up there in European places. Does that not worry you a little bit?
No, it doesn't. And I'll tell you why, because West Ham play their Europa League semi-final 4 days after the game against Chelsea.
After it? Okay.
Yeah. So if ever Moyes is going to rest players ahead of that European game, it's going to be against Chelsea, isn't it? I think, you know, they're in a good spot, but I don't think they're going to get top four now. And that Europa League semi-final is huge. That's like one of the biggest games of their history, isn't it? Particularly their recent history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely huge. So I think really they're going to conserve energy. Although I'm sure he won't rest everyone because they need match to keep their match fitness up. But if ever there's a game where they're not going to want to get injured, you know, Chelsea could, that could be a big score. And we all know about Man United.
Yeah, I suppose as well, like West Ham, if you're David Moyes, obviously if you win the Europa League, you get into the Champions League. So the easier route might be winning the Europa League in a mad, mad way. Yeah. So maybe he will put his eggs in that basket instead.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely he will. I mean, it would be huge for them, wouldn't it, to win the Europa League? Absolutely huge.
Yeah. You'd like to think they've got, where are they at the moment? Sixth?
I think they are. Something like that.
Yeah. So you'd like to think they get at least a Europa League spot. So why not absolutely gun it in the Europa League semi-final?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Good Chelsea chat. Any other fixtures that stand out for you? I think the one that stands out for me is probably Liverpool at home to Everton, sadly. or Manchester City at home to Watford.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk Man City briefly, because obviously it's huge for them, the run in. And I think most people have got their Liverpool assets pretty sorted, haven't they? I think, but looking at City's fixtures, they've got a double game week to come. Which still hasn't been decided yet whether it's going to be game week 36 or 37. Mm. Watford at home, Leeds away, Newcastle at home, West Ham, Wolves, Aston Villa. I mean, I just can't see them dropping points. I think they're so good when the going gets tough. They're so good at just getting those results. And Pep wants that goal difference up, as we've said. I mean, they scored three goals against Brighton last night. This Watford at home fixture could be absolutely huge. Yeah, it could be huge. Mm. So I think, you know, particularly if you want a little punt, you know, you could go for someone like Mahrez if we get team news that he's going to start, because whenever he does, he just dominates the stats. And obviously De Bruyne's absolutely smashing it at the moment. Pep again praised him last night, and out of everyone, his goal involvement for City is the highest, because obviously he's got that assist threat. 23 chances created in his last seven games.
It's insane, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous.
To go along with 11 shots on target, which is big, 17 shots. De Bruyne is just huge, but it's just fitting him in. I think if you go for selling Kane, and you don't go for Son, De Bruyne is going to be your man. Foden would be the other one for me. He scored last night. He seems to be Pep's favourite for that number nine role. He's scoring goals. He looks great. The thing with City is the points are always spread a lot more around the team, aren't they?
Yeah. There's obviously, I mean, they score in many different ways, but it's also the rotation, isn't it? And you know, we saw in the cup game against Liverpool how he rotated his team, and you know they paid for it. I mean, I don't think we're going to be seeing Zach Steffen playing in the Premier League anytime soon. I think Edison's the nailed-on goalkeeper, but the outfielders—it's just—it really is anyone's guess. You can't, unless you know Pep Guardiola and you've had a look at his draft emails. You don't know what the team lineup's going to be. But I'd like to think Cancelo's nailed on, and I'd also like to think that Laporte is nailed on, but who knows? It is too hard to call. Only Pep knows his best team, let's be honest.
He does, yeah. But I think you're right. I think if you haven't got Cancelo, you've got to make him a priority, really, at the back. Because, as I say, with those fixtures, I could see them keeping clean sheets in every single one of them. And Cancelo's got such an attacking threat as well. He's due a big score. Mm. He's due a big, big score, Cancelo. Yeah. And I can see that coming, particularly in a fixture like Watford, which is why I brought him in this week. Last week. So I think, yeah, I think he's got to be a priority. And I'm also looking at Foden. I don't think I can afford De Bruyne. I'd love De Bruyne, but I don't think I can afford him just yet. So I think, I mean, a potential double move I could do is Ronaldo to Timo Werner and Kulusevski to Foden. And so it means I'm going for a Foden single game week against, say, a Havertz or a Mount double game week. This is a little bit of a risk, but I can just see City absolutely destroying Watford, can't you?
Yeah, let's have a quick look at how Man City performed against Watford in recent years.
Okay.
Because I would be very interested to see how dominant they've been. Right. Oh my God, the amount of W's next to Manchester City. So Manchester City have won. Oh my God. They've won every game they played against Watford since January 2013. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 wins on the bounce. Before that, they had two draws and then three wins previous. So they've not lost to Watford. Oh my God. In a competitive match since March 1989.
Jesus.
So I feel like you could be onto something there with Phil Foden, you know. I think I might also have to jump on the City bandwagon for that one. And yeah, they beat them 3-1 earlier on in the season. Before that, they beat them 4-0. Before that, they beat them 8-0. Before that, they beat them 6-0.
Wow.
So there's potential in this.
And as we said last week, Pep has spoken about getting that goal difference up.
Be wary, Watford fans.
I mean, what's the stats at the moment with that? Have you got the league table there, Rich? What's the
Premier League table?
Yeah, what's the goal difference? How many goals behind Liverpool are they?
They are 6 goals worse off.
Right. I mean,
and that could change.
They could win 7 or 8 nil easily.
The thing is, as well, in a mad way, if it doesn't come down to goal difference, it comes down to goals scored, and it could, you know, because it's so tight, it could be decided on goals scored.
Absolutely.
Which is insane, and Liverpool have got 8 more than Manchester City have. So, Pep, mate, you need to up it. You need a few more 5-0 wins under your belt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, but, you know, look, Watford are 19th, and it looks like they're going to get relegated, but there's no point in them sitting back and trying to defend. No. They've got to try and win the game. Really? What have they got to lose?
No,
I mean, they have got Roy Hodgson, who's one of the most defensive managers ever, to graze the Premier League. But if City score early, which they often do, that could be a huge score. And I think when Chelsea are as inconsistent as they have been, and the advantage of getting City now is that most people are going to be focusing on Chelsea assets this week. So if you just plump for a Foden or a De Bruyne over a Chelsea asset, and say, right, I think they're going to score more in this single game week fixture against Watford, you've then got that advantage when City do have that double game week in 36 or 37, if you're not playing free hit or whatever, you've already got them in. So you can then make luxury moves elsewhere. So I think, I mean, I'm certainly talking myself into those moves right now instead of, and also I'm covering the Chelsea anyway with Werner. It kind of depends on this Rudiger news for me, because if he's going to be out injured, then it might be better going to someone like Reece James or Alonso. But yeah, I think Phil Foden for me is the one that stands out, particularly for these fixtures.
So you'd opt more so for City attacking options than, say, Liverpool attacking options, because Everton have a very bad record against Liverpool as well. Not quite as bad as Watford at Manchester City, but still pretty bad. I think last season was Everton's first win at Anfield since 1999. So they don't have a good record, and Everton were thumped by them earlier on in the season. Was it 4-0 or 4-1, something like that? So,
I know
Everton are scrapping at the moment, but
yeah, I think there's lots of captaincy options this week. I certainly wouldn't say get De Bruyne over Salah or anything like that, because, you know, if you've got Salah, you absolutely keep him. Mm. So I think Salah's a captaincy option. I think the City boys are captaincy options. I think Chelsea are the best captaincy options. It's perhaps a slight risk with rotation, but it's a double game week. It's Chelsea. And as we've spoken about, West Ham have got Europa League. We've got to look at Man United as a really, really bad team to target. We have to. We can't keep this thinking that they're going to turn it around or pull a result out the bag. They're not. It's absolutely dire at the moment. And Ranić looks like he's completely given up on even trying to make this team better.
They're just trying to get through the season, isn't it? That's what it is.
Pogba's injured. McTominay's injured. Fred's injured. Varane's injured. They've got an injury crisis. Ronaldo might not be playing. They are absolutely ripe for the taking. So I think we have to look at those two fixtures for Chelsea as really, really good fixtures, despite it being West Ham and Man United. I think they are prime. So I think you've got to captain a Chelsea guy. But yeah, you need your Salah. You need a City attacker as well to add to that. And if we had the luxury of a wild card, I think that's what we'd both be doing, wouldn't we? We'd look at the triple up of Chelsea. We'd get Mo Salah.
Yeah.
We'd probably get either Robertson and TAA or one of those two. We'd maybe go double City defence, but I'd be tempted with double City attack. Obviously, Cancelo we've spoken about. You'd probably have Son in there as well, if you could, on a wild card, and maybe leave Kane out. And you'd probably go budget forward line if you're on a wild card, because it allows, you know, you can get your Mount Havertz, you'd get your Mount Havertz and a Chelsea defender, and then your front three could be a budget front three, because none of the strikers have been that great this season, have they? So that's probably what I'd do on wildcard. Would you think similarly?
Yeah, I think so. I've unfortunately used my wildcards a long time ago, so I'm just trying to work out how to dance around my team at the moment, because I have got it pretty well balanced at the moment. Like, I've got a decent amount of money in defence with the likes of Cancelo, Robertson. Midfield's got Salah in it, obviously, and then the attack's got Kane. So it's kind of nicely balanced and weighed out at the moment. And I always find when it's unbalanced that it causes me a lot more stress, because then I find it hard to, you know, shift the funds around a little bit. So I don't think we're making too many changes, but I might be able to do a little sideways movement. I've only just brought in Barnes. Maybe I could move Saka along and afford Foden, maybe.
I would definitely hold Saka.
Because of Manchester United.
Yeah, great fixture against United. And also, they've got a double coming up in 36.
I think it's quite highly owned as well.
Yeah, very highly owned. And they're pushing, aren't they? They're pushing for that top four. So I think Saka's a hold, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I would consider just downgrading somebody that you don't think you're going to need to a really cheap player that isn't going to play, sit them third on your bench and use that money to upgrade elsewhere. But I think Chelsea have got to be the priority this week, and possibly a City attacker, as we've spoken about, for their fixture running.
Cool. Should we wrap things up?
I think we should.
Cool.
Captains.
It's going to be Mo Salah. And I hate myself for picking Mo Salah against Everton, but it makes so much sense. You know, he's just scored 2 goals and absolutely smashed it against Manchester United at Anfield. So why wouldn't he smash it against Everton at Anfield? As he has all season. What's he on now this season? 249 points, Mo Salah. I think that makes him the best performer in the game by quite some distance.
Yeah.
And yeah, 22 Premier League goals, 13 Premier League assists, countless bonus points. And he's playing against a team who I think have only won 2 away games all season. So sorry, Everton fans who are listening. I'm doing it. I'm going with Mo. What about you?
At the moment, I'm most likely bringing in Timo Werner for Ronaldo, and I'll probably captain Timo Werner.
I do like that shout. That's very good. It's a very fun shout as well, because there's not going to be too many people doing that, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. I think community-wise, he's getting a lot of love. Because it, again,
is he? Yeah.
As I've said, it allows, if for those who own Ronaldo, it's a big saving. For those who own Kane, it's a big saving to go to a double game week player who is back on form for a Chelsea team for those two fixtures, as we've spoken about. So I think when it's a double game week like that, and you can probably get away with not... I know a lot of people will captain Salah, I'm sure, but you can just probably get away with not captaining him. His ownership's not going to be absolutely massive. So I think that's probably what I'm going to do. And as I said, I think my moves at the moment, depending on Rudiger's fitness, will probably be Ronaldo to Werner, Kulusevski to Foden. But that may change. Might bring in Reece James, might bring in Alonso, might bring in Havertz.
And is that for a hit?
Yeah, it will be, yeah. Yeah, it'll be for a -4.
Chelsea have got the double.
Yeah, so I don't mind taking hits now at this stage of the season. I don't mind taking the hits with all these double game weeks and then, you know, the chance for big, big points like I got this week with Ronaldo. Yeah, you've got to go for it and chase these hauls.
Exactly. Mate, top 1K.
Come on,
there.
Come on,
it's in the sights.
Come on.
You can do it. Right, everyone, at FPL Triple Cap, go and follow us and join the Discord and join the little community we got going on over there. If you ever got any questions, people always respond. Always, always, always. It's really good. All right, then. Here we go. Game week 34. Oh, and enjoy the Southampton-Burnley game tonight. I don't know when this is going to get published, but try and enjoy the Southampton-Burnley game tonight. And good luck for game week 34.
Come on, Beghorse. Come on, Broger.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together, and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all
full
lost,
progress.
Which is magnificent, which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
Well, that's like a that's more than my baby weighed when he was born, so we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.